The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The following program
is the officially sanctioned podcast
where three friends
talk about the show
about four friends
who compete to embarrass each
who
other.
To embarrass
who
each
compete
other.
To embarrass each other.
The official Impractical Joker Podcast.
Yes!
Whoa.
Thank God.
I love that theme music.
Oh, it feels good to be back.
You like can't believe music? It. I can't believe we're back. It's been so long, folks. I've missed you.
I missed your faces, guys.
Oh, the beautiful voice of Shay, Siobhan DeBerry.
Do I get to see you guys, or because of this COVID mess, you can't come to set, you can't, how does this work now?
That's what everyone wants to know, question. Shay, that's exactly what our listeners want to know. So you nailed it already.
All right.
I want to see you.
I know.
We only can see each other through Zoom. I haven't been in the same room with you guys that I've been in the same room with for the past 9 years, just like everybody else. I mean, this has been crazy. I'm sure you have a lot of questions about how we're filming the show right now, but about that crazy premiere. By the way, I've got my partner right over there, Casey Jost.
Hello. And I'm back.
You're back. And our new partner, that's
Thank
Shay.
Thank you.
That was a yeah.
Shay, Siobhan, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Welcome to the podcast. Now, for people listening now, I have really exciting news for you because Shay is a permanent fixture of this podcast going forward. It's a new year. We have a new co-host. It's me, James, and Shay. We're in it. We're thick as thieves. Thick with two C's.
Yes.
Right, the good kind.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have two C's.
That's true. Shay and Casey.
Love it.
This is really fun because McCarthy. Wait, McCarthy has two C's in it.
That's right.
Oh, MWC. Right. Look at that!
Wow, we're a thick podcast, everyone.
So this is exciting because it's it was a dark time when we had to shut down. Yeah. So Shay, the insight that you could bring, especially for our listeners, is to let them know what it was like when we were filming, and you don't have to do it all at once right now. And I got to go on set maybe three or four times during the, when we were filming there in quarantine style.
Yes. But
what a historic thing to happen. And, it's season 9, we shut down, the whole world shuts down. But, a few months later, we got to get together and safely film our show. So that's basically catching everyone up if you didn't know what was happening in the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. And just so the fans know, some of the bits you see were filmed pre-COVID.
Correct.
And then some are during it. And we kind of just spread them out throughout the episode. I think we filmed roughly 9 or 10 bits before we had to shut down we filmed these in February and the beginning of March, 2020. Then we had to take a break for a while as everybody else did in their lives. And we started filming again safely in September. Of 2020. Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
And so,
and that's going to be so much fun. I think specifically for this podcast, because they're not saying it on the show. So we're going to be telling you which bits were filmed when. It's pretty apparent if anybody's hugging or touching, it's
right.
It was before the pandemic.
Yeah. And look at Sal's beard. I think that's a pretty good indicator.
Yes.
It's going to jump around a bit for you. And so for this first episode, there's again, a mix of it all. But Shay, what's it like, just to give the fans an idea of how do we film safely? What has changed just to get yourself to set safely? What mm-hmm. kind of things do you have to do?
Okay. So first of all, our call times now are at least an hour, 2 hours earlier than what they were before.
Wow.
And that's all because one, we have to get tested. Mm-hmm. So not only do we get lab tested every other day, but we get rapid tests every day.
Wow.
So we get to set, we get tested. Then you sit in your cars for 15 minutes for your test. Mm-hmm. Once you get a text message. Whoever the swabber is texts you, and they text you if you're negative or positive. Hmm. If you're positive, you're nicely. If you're positive, you got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Right? If you're positive, you're getting the hell out of here. But if you're negative, then you can nicely go on set, and then you get your temperature taken, and you get your PPE gear, and then you can go into your designated areas or whatever you're working and all that good stuff.
So I know a little bit about the PPE gear because the times I came to set, I also had to get tested and stuff like that beforehand. I wasn't on set every day, but the times I had to go, it was really interesting. And tell me if I'm right with this protocol. You got to wear a mask, obviously, the whole time. Everyone has to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming close to the guys, you got to double it up with like a face shield with the mask under it. The thing that made me laugh when we were starting this was like Director Hood being like, you know, everybody, like, you know, keep your distance, 6 feet and no hugging. I'm looking at you, Shay. I'm looking at the Jokers because the four of them and you, the five of you,
yes,
are huggers.
That's all we do. Those are my babies. I've been with them since the beginning. So I wouldn't say they're my kids because they're a little older than me, but those are like my kids.
Right.
Those are like my kids. So
it's not just them though. You hug me.
I hug everybody.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
I hug everybody. I'm a very touchy-feely person. So this is not going very well for me at all. I like to touch. I'm sorry. But I like to hug. We like family. I've been with you guys for eight years now.
That's true.
It's, you know, I'm used to seeing you guys every day. And you know, Casey, when you come on set, I'm excited. I want to jump on you. I'm like, yes, my brother's here. I want to play in your hair or whatever. I can't touch you.
I know. It's tough.
Like, what kind of nonsense is this? I can't touch you.
But
how do I show my love?
I think it's a dedication to our show that we're making so many sacrifices, such as hugging.
Yes.
But also, like, you know, everybody's wearing, like, you know, it's even in September, it was pretty warm out. There were some days that we were filming outside and it was hot and everyone's like got their masks on and they're doubling up and everyone's really safe. And then there are also, there's this thing that still exists. There are these, like, I call them like COVID moms. These like women who stay on, and then they just, their job, and you know, bless their hearts, is to come over to you and be like, your shield is on, or like, you know, or like, you know, you gotta stand away. They'll even touch you and pull you away, which I'm kind of like, wait, why are you allowed to touch me?
Well, those are
COVID coordinators, right?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I was trying to think of the other name.
Not to cut you off, those are COVID coordinators. So what's funny is, like, when we're not shooting, I'll try to hop on other jobs, right? Mm-hmm. Just because I got bills. So I'll try to hop on other jobs. I recently had to go take a COVID test for a commercial that I'm shooting. And the lady who's getting ready to swap me is like, your name is Shay. What? You work on Impractical Jokers. It's our medic. It's the medic that we use that we've been using now. She's like my swabber on a commercial or something, but she scared the crap of me. I was like, she's like, you're Shay. I was like, huh?
You thought she was a fan.
It's so hard to, because I'm sure she's wearing a mask too. It's like hard to like really identify people you know.
Exactly.
Like out in public. Yeah.
But guys, so that's basically a gist. We're going to give you more intel into like what it's like to film during a pandemic, especially our show where we work with the public.
Exactly. And just to jump on that, Casey, so people are like, all right, well, how the heck is Impractical Jokers going to film? Mm-hmm. Like other people I know that work on other TV shows, like, how the hell are you guys even doing this right now? And the question is answered by like, well, the same process that Shay just went through. So some of the marks that we get, like, for imagine hiring these voiceover artists that come in. Mm-hmm. It's like, we basically put an ad up for voiceover artists. And so if you're going for a job like that, of course, it would make sense that you have to get COVID tested, clear your COVID test, and then still get that rapid test in the morning before you come into the room. So that kind of leads real nicely into that first bit. That's how we booked them. These aren't paid actors knowing they're going to get on Impractical Jokers. We hired everyday New Yorkers to come in and read some BS copy that we wrote up. That's just like, here, hey, New York, recycle today. Like, all that nonsense. We're like, yeah, we need real New Yorkers to come in and read this. And they're like, hey, I'm a real New Yorker. Great. Come out here to Sound on Sound Studios, say this into the microphone while our guys are pretending to speak into a microphone while the other Jokers are in the back saying it all for them.
I got to say, I can't believe we haven't done this sooner because it's such a fun environment. And, you know, they're reading copy and the guys are like, even if it was just like we're there's no bullhorn, and then they're just talking to them through that environment. I think it would be good. And it's an example of like, even though it's a perfect example of, even though there's like things going on and like, you know, in some ways we're handcuffed with the challenges that we have to come up with, they could still be good. And then like, you know, it forces you to think outside of the box and like come up with solutions like this. And it's the perfect COVID challenge. And you wouldn't know, you wouldn't even, if we had filmed this before, you wouldn't even know.
Exactly. It's perfect. You have the Mark, as we call them, and the Joker, totally separate rooms. And you really just get to embarrass the crap out of the Joker by pretending to talk for him. It's a great bit.
I want to say
we did this. This one was one of the first bits that we did right after coming back from quarantine. Yeah. So then we didn't even have the rapid tests. So they had to come in knowing they thought they got the audition, that they won, you know, that they auditioned and they got the part, but they had to come in and get tested. I want to say 2 or 3 days before we even filmed that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I remember. And that studio was funny too, Shay. Remember there was like funny plaques on the wall.
Yeah.
Cause this is one of the days I was there. There was like some albums that were like, what was it? There was like a Jay-Z album.
Had Britney Spears with a Jay-Z album.
Like a soundtrack for something.
Yeah.
Like,
I want to say there was a American Pie.
Yes, yes.
It was American Pie soundtrack. We were like, they had a soundtrack? What? It was American. And I want to say Q wanted to buy it.
The plaque?
Yeah, one of the guys, I want to say it was Q. Q wanted to buy the plaque.
That's nuts.
And I'm still waiting for the owner to get back to me to see if we can actually buy it.
So why would he want the plaque?
He wants the American plaque.
It's the accolade of the studio that he wants. That's stolen valor.
But the dude was going to sell it. Come on.
Okay. I mean, yeah. Like, he could just make another one of those. It's a plaque.
It's tough to get when
you win gold.
Yeah. Sell that if you can make a little extra money.
I love how when they're behind the mic, the Jokers in this challenge, I really love how they act. And there's a part where like Sal calls out Murr. And the reason why is because Sal's really good at it. Like when they're talking, like Sal, like he's right there improvising like in the moment.
Yes. Yeah. Really like acting like he's got the same hand movements and stuff. And it really kind of threw me off at watching it for a second. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not Sal's voice, but it looks like he's saying everything.
I know.
Yeah. Sal is dope. Yeah. Sal's really, really dope at improv. Love him improvising.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's I think he's a good actor.
But what I don't get is how did Mark Zinn know that the voice changed?
That's a great question.
It's when it's like an audio thing like that. I don't know. Do you like suspend your disbelief and you're just like, oh, okay. Well, we know their voices intricately from hearing this show so much. So, but I agree. I mean, there is an element to me where I'm like, well, that sounded like Murr or something. But
I was going to say, because you knew that was Murr.
Yeah, he's got that.
Eh. And it's just that thing, though. It's like, you never expect to be in that situation where, this guy's really not talking to me. Like, it's some other people in the back. Like, we can see all the strings, and like, we can always say, like, how don't they know it's them? And people, we get that all the time. Like, how do people not know they're on a prank show? How do they not know the Impractical Jokers? It's like, people just don't think that that's happening to them in their real lives. Like, it really kind of blows your mind when the releases come out and they're like, oh yeah. And people will say like, oh, I knew something was up, but I couldn't put my finger on it.
Maybe people just don't think.
True.
that could be part of it.
Shay, keep in mind that you did the voice of Sal once in the UK.
That was my first.
On camera?
Yep. My first. That was Murr was like, Shay, come here. I was like, huh? What? You want me to do what? Okay, cool. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
It's so good. None of that. People tell you about that all the time?
I hear it all the time. They're like, you're Sal's sassy voice. Actually, we were shooting the movie, and me and Sal went sneaker shopping, as we always do.
That's sweet.
And he calls an Uber, and we get in the Uber, and as soon as the Uber comes, he looks at Sal, he's like, you're Sal from Practical Jokers. And he's like, yeah, you know, we're out here filming some of the movie or whatever. And he's like, this is the crew. He turns around, he's like, and you're the sassy one. You're the sassy voice. I was like, oh shit. Okay.
That would be so funny if it wasn't you. And then that person's just like yelling at a black woman, you're the sassy one.
You're the sassy one. Like, actually, dear, I was not.
That's crazy.
It was cool, though. It was weird, but it was cool.
That's so cool. I mean, yeah, that's got, I mean, you've been in so many like little bits here and there, yeah, like sprinkled throughout the show, but yeah.
You're casually in this one. You drop off a cowboy hat in this challenge.
You see a good silhouette.
Yeah.
You do.
That's so fun. I mean, this bit had a lot of like little fun surprises of just the whole Southern thing with the hat, yeah, and to have it through for like two turns is just so, it was exhausting. Like even watching it in a good way, like I felt for them, you know, like yeah, sometimes when you watch a punishment at the end of it, you're like, whew, I'm tired. Like I'm exhausted from that. So yeah. I, you know, it was like to keep that up. I love when Q took the phone call just to like get a break.
I know you'd say, yeah, exactly. I think like the guys had a hard time not breaking in the room. It's also that anxious feeling you get when you just watch the guys in like a really cringy situation. Mm-hmm. It's so tough. And the Foghorn Leghorn voice was strong in this one. They're bringing it out outside of James Murray. He cannot get it at all.
Yeah.
But I love the man for trying.
I think the guys like play up sometimes like they'll play up like a New York accent. So it's really nice for them to like dip into this weird Southern accent. I wonder if our Southern fans are watching like, excuse me, that's offensive.
yeah.
But I think, you know, I think they, you know, both sides, right. They're doing the New York accent once in a while, you know, they'll drop in a Canadian accent here and there.
Yep. Yeah. They
it's time for, all it's that time stuff for the South. Out.
Yeah, they had it coming.
All Cajun.
Oh, yeah, we got to do the Cajun one. Everyone gets equal opportunity on our show. If we haven't done your accent, please tweet at Impractical Jokers. We'll try to get it on the show at some point. if you are looking to get offended by someone doing your accent, the guys will mangle it. So please, we're equal opportunity.
Can I send it a tweet?
Yeah, what do you got?
I would love to hear a Jamaican accent or Caribbean accent. And I would love for Sal to do it.
That's great. Did we? Well, we actually have this like one punishment that would be similar to that, but we can't spoil it.
Talk. I don't know if it's going to happen. Listen, this season's going to get weird. Here's the other thing. Fans, listen, you know it from watching this episode last night. That punishment is bizarre. I can't believe we're able to film it. And that was pre-COVID.
Yes.
Once COVID hit, the network was like, you guys have a little bit more leeway. If you can film something safe, that is fine. Maybe we'll less notes on things. So we get to really shoot some bizarre, weird stuff. And we're like, hey guys, it's safe. Can we do it? And they're like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So we really get to push the envelope this year. And this season has some of my favorite bits we've ever shot. I'm so happy for the fans to get to watch these next 10 episodes. And we just came back like a month ago to work on the next 16 to fill this rest of the season order. And it is bizarre. Like I'm pumped for this season. I'm pumped
too. Yeah. That's
good. Yeah, well, I cannot wait. But yeah, Jamaican accent.
Did we get Jamaican Batman on?
We got Jamaican Batman on, I think, in Q's playwright punishment.
Okay. Yeah. Jamaican Batman. So it would be Jamaican Batman. Was it log lines? Was it log lines? I forget.
It could have been log lines. Now they blend together a little bit.
How do you guys remember all of this stuff? Like, I don't remember. I remember my first shoot day, but that's it.
Well, you know what's funny, Shay, and this is a blessing and a curse, is you're there on set, so you see every single thing and a lot of stuff that doesn't make air. And sometimes there's probably stuff that in your head at the time you were like, that's going to be the thing that makes it, and doesn't for whatever reason. And so you see every little like every moment. So it's hard to like, you know, cause I knew it was like season one and two there. It's hard for me to remember what made it and what didn't. Cause I was on set every single day. I just think it all sort of rolls together. And even when, you know, I forget sometimes when I watch those episodes, as I'm watching them, I'm thinking like, oh, I thought this thing was in it and it's not. So I think that's probably what's happening.
And you know who remembers
watching
the least?
Watching tonight, I remembered.
Oh, yeah. But the guys remember the least.
Oh, yeah.
The Jokers do not remember what they did last week at all. And you'd be like, no, man, you were just telling someone your dog after their dog. And like, oh, yeah, you're right. That did happen. Or it's like, yeah, we threw you out of plane. You're like, right. Can't forget that. That one actually Murray doesn't forget, but like all the crazy things like that happened on our show. It's like, hey, remember you said this to the guy, like when, and you're like yesterday. And they're like, all right, I guess.
Well, it's funny you say that because we're going to get to this. We're not at the punishment yet, but I just want to bring up that we had pitched the three guys this punishment, like a half a season before. Yep. they even said yes to this. And the guys were like, no, I don't think, you know, because I think we just pitched it as like My Dog After Your Dog.
I remember where we pitched it and it went over like a Led Zeppelin. It just, they're like, I don't know, fellas.
Yeah. But then they forgot and we pitched it again and they loved it the next time they heard it.
Yeah.
How funny is that?
Yeah, things change, man. Like it some, you know, it's like anything. I think we were pitching in like a cramped corner of Katz's Deli or something. It's too hot or as loud and you're trying to think. So it'd be really funny and like, you know, like, pastrami's fall on you. It's like, maybe you said My Dog After Your Dog. And like, not right now, like maybe later.
But the second time, once the incident reports and stuff come into it, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Yeah, that sold it. But yeah, I mean, I did a quick fact check, Casey. Okay. Jamaican Batman was from Loglines Challenge, where the guys pretend to be TV executives pitching fake shows. Rasta Impasta was the Q
Rasta playwright. Impasta.
So yeah. So we got the Jamaicans a couple of times, but not full on Jamaican accent, I don't think. We'll get to that.
I need a full on.
But yeah, please tweet the other accents you want to see the guys mangle.
Yes, please. Please let us know.
We'll get to that.
So let's keep going with this episode.
Yeah. Also, I just got to say, my favorite part of the bit, no offense to the other Jokers, is just when Joe electrocutes himself on the board. That physical comedy, even it's not even part of the bit, really. It's like the bit is like, we're going to pretend to do your voice, but you got to do other things at the time. So it's like, he just like goes whole hog into it, like, you know, pretends to electrocute himself on the board. It had me cracking up the whole time. Yeah. Again, that might not, if you haven't seen the episode, please do. If you haven't seen it, I'm surprised you're listening to the podcast, but yeah, check it out. There will be more spoilers, so please watch the episode, come back to the podcast. But yeah, let's dive into the next challenge. This is pre-COVID at the grocery store. We filmed this in March 2020.
All right, so you got Kim Congdon. You got
amazing
Phoebe Stonebreaker.
My wife.
Amazing.
You got Jonna Scrabis.
Yes. Very good. Very, very good.
And you got Jamila Jamil.
Very good.
Absolutely. Incredible lineup this time around.
An all-star cast.
Pretty good. Let's start with Sal, right? That's Sal and Kim Congdon.
Yep.
Kim Congdon, hysterical stand-up. Also, she was writing on producing on this season of Impractical Jokers.
Yes.
Yeah. And Kim is the best. Yeah. Check her out. She had a stand up on HBO Latino. She's really, really funny. And you could tell in this bit, I mean, her ringing the bell for Sal to come running is so good.
She was on point.
Yeah. I love the, isn't this the woman that called you a goblin in spin class was another highlight for me. And the way that Kim plays that, that is very much Kim Congdon in the room. When I've been scared before when she's taken off her earrings and attacked me multiple times. Again, we have terrible HR. She's hugging everybody. Kim's attacking. She's the funniest, the best.
I text her because she's in LA and she's not working on the show. She has to take another job. So she's getting too big for us. But I texted her. I was like, by the way, you know, you're on like the first episode of this season. Like, you make sure to watch. And she was like, oh, I am. Oh, cool. Like, and A, no one told her, but she didn't even check in. Like, she forgot that she had done it, you know?
I mean, she filmed this last March. This was in March, March.
That might have been the second to last episode we filmed before COVID.
Yeah, I think so.
It was crazy. You know what it was? It was that same week. We did the grocery store. We did this punishment. And then there's another bit that hasn't aired yet that'll
almost
be coming
up. Full year. Wow.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is bananas.
Yeah, she's so funny. So check her out. And coming up next, we got Phoebe Stonebreaker.
We got married last January, so this is in March. But more importantly, on the show, she was Q's girlfriend the first time they did this bit. They loved her. They like want to bring her back. Murray's like, let me steal your girl, James. She will be my girlfriend in this bit. Mm-hmm. And get this, people, you won't believe it, but they actually held hands in public and like hugged strangers. Remember a time when you could do that?
I know.
That's bizarre. Like
not
watching
boosters nowadays. You got to get the booster and you got to get everything.
When I used to be able to touch you guys.
It's okay. It's true. Come back to us.
It's wild. This season's going to be interesting. Like it's going to be wild to see any moment like this where they're like hugging and touching and holding hands.
Me and Phoebe were watching it as we were prepping for the podcast and she was like, I can't believe like how gross we used to live. Like, just like random really touching strangers. Like, you see the punishment too. It's like people just like hanging over the desk, like your faces are so close to each other. When you watch that stuff on TV now, you're like, oh my God, like you almost like, they shouldn't be touching. They should like 6 feet, 6 feet. Like your brain's already so wired and changed that it's bizarre. I can't wait till we go back to, grocery store times, as I like to call them.
I sometimes go too far in my head of like judgment, like where somebody will post like a throwback but I'm like, what are they all doing together? You know? And I'm like, oh, okay. This was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Hashtag where we can go outside.
I have to check myself. But I also love that they talked about having adopting a baby or an 18-year-old baby.
An 18-year-old girl.
18-year-old girl
baby. No, 18-year-old girl adult.
Yes, yeah. For sure. It's so funny that that kid that they asked like didn't really pick up on how insane it is that this guy is like, let me get an 18-year-old.
Yeah, he's a young guy. He's like, yeah, sure. He's like, 18-year-old sounds good to me. He's like, why not? We can hang out. You can introduce her to me. That sounds great.
So funny. And then this is a real plot twist for me too.
Yeah.
Then James goes, okay, all right, so you win, but I get steak, or we get steak tonight.
Yeah.
Which I mean, Phoebe had to really stay in this character that doesn't eat steak.
Yeah. Well, you know, the funny thing though is like,
or eat steak rather.
Yeah.
Because Phoebe's a vegetarian.
There's actually a bit they cut off, there where he's like, we should buy it. We should get the steak. And she had a good topper for that joke, which was like something like, it was like, as long as it's not 18 years old.
And oh, that's great.
And it was funny because I was in a rough cut and it got cut, I think, you know, for time. Like it got moved around, but I wish that little one would have stayed in.
Oh, that's good. Well, now, you know what? We got it here. And that's real. This is the real
show. That's all that matters.
Most people just listen to the podcast. And then after they hear the podcast, they're like, okay, I'll check out this little show.
So. We should just reenact the scenes that get cut off for the fans. But then, I mean, this next bit is probably my favorite one from the whole thing. I could say that because Phoebe thought this as well. Joe and Jana, the mommy daddy talk, phenomenal.
The new cringe queen.
Oh boy, that is cringeworthy. People were not knowing how to react. I'll tell you that in the grocery store.
First, I would have been told them to shut the hell up. Like, I'm tired of mommy daddy. I would have been told them to shut the hell up. I don't understand.
It's such a successful bit. Everybody, literally everybody was like, that one woman just like stopped and looked back. Like she couldn't believe it. Like there was just like a car accident happening and it was, but it just, they both did it so well. But going back to like, you know, improv. So Jana, you know, and James and I have known each other for a long time through like the New York improv scene. And Jana's like a phenomenal improviser. And then she's also now a producer on the show.
Yeah. One of the best in the city.
And she even taught Joe Imbrugio.
Like she's another writer on the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
She brought him a long way. He wasn't funny at first. And now he's pretty good. Yeah.
But so she could really dive into this role of calling him daddy as his wife. And it's that's the other thing is like Jana is a good, she's like could be 30 or she could be like 21. Yeah. You know, so it feels like, is this like the father daughter? But no, why is people he calling her mommy?
No, yeah, exactly.
No. It was very bizarre. Good. It was a very good bit.
And Joe's stubble, we got to talk about that 5 o'clock shadow that he had. I mean, I remember when he came into like the office and he was like, I'm going to keep it for the show. He's like, I'm going to keep it for a while. And we were like, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Like I think it looks good. And we're like, again, they said it on the air. It's like, what does Bessie think? She's like, hates it.
I think it needed to be like just a little bit longer. Like it didn't look like it was fully committed. It felt like a, what's his name? George Michael beard, you know, like that kind of like half in, half out. And I'm a George Michael beard kind of guy myself, but maybe it doesn't work on a Joe type and it works on a me and George Michael type.
You know, fans, let Joe know if you like it. We could bring it, ask him to bring it back. I know the Jokers love it because they thought it was hilarious and they tried to get just pictures of him with that stubble in through the show throughout the rest of the year, any way that they can. It is quite something to see him with facial hair, because he's very clean shaven most of the time. I've never seen him with even a little bit of scruff.
And next we have the best comedic duo, like of the new comedic duo. of right, Jamila is, and Q.
Yeah, like in the next Nichols and May is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah, Jamila and Q are coming to take over for all you big Nichols and Mays fans out there. I love that Jamila comes right out and does a suck it. I thought that was very nice of her to do, kind of show she's not better than us on the show, because she's a big time Hollywood star. But she was like, you know what, Jokers? I mean, she does Misery Index with them all the time, but just comes right out, does the suck ins, like, I'm game for whatever. So let's go.
She flew in to come to a grocery store and do this stupid bit. How funny. What was it like on set with her?
It was super cool. She, like, I've been on set with her at Misery Index when I go and pop in and say hi. Well, maybe once or twice I popped in and say hi to the guys. And I met her a few times, but I had no idea that she was coming and she was going to be his wife. So when I saw her, I was surprised, like, what? But she, when I say she was right on point and caught on so fast, excellent, 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 excellent job. Yeah. Excellent job.
I mean,
such a sweetheart.
Just the bit where there's the wallet and, you know, Q says like the Knicks, and then she's just like, check for your wallet. That guy's reaction. Cause that guy's like, no, it's okay, I don't mind. And there's like, no, check for your wallet. Like that interaction, I feel like I've never really seen that on Impractical Jokers. And that's, so there are sometimes things that are like, truly unique. Like some stuff is like, I've seen a version of that. This was, to me, truly unique. The guy, like, his reaction was like, oh, I almost got scammed by this like kleptomaniac or something, like where his wife is even like, no, the Knicks is a tell. He's going to try to take your wallet. It's a hobby of his.
Yeah. You know? And again, fans of the Jokers in sports, this was filmed last March when the Knicks were terrible. Cool. The Knicks are now good. So I just want to point that out.
Good.
What a difference a year makes. The Knicks are now a decent team.
They spent a couple of dollars.
Yeah. They're from the dumpster fire they've been for the past decade. But yeah. And I just love Jamila rejecting Q. Was very, very funny to me. I would like to see more. That's all I want to say. Maybe a sitcom with the two of them.
Yeah.
I get into that.
I think that would work. I definitely think that would be really fun to see. The two of them together is really fun. If you watch Misery Index, you get to see more of that relationship. So if you're a late adopter to the Misery Index, I think you should check it out just for their dynamic.
Can we do a punishment with Q does like a Caribbean accent and then you also have like her accent together? I think that shit would work.
Her accent's amazing.
Shay, you gotta stop by.
Oh, so dope.
Stop by the producer's room and pitch some of these ideas. It's gonna be a blast. You're gonna like what you see.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm popping in on Zooms.
You're known. Yeah, that's easy. You could come anytime. But you're known to do a British accent for like too long. Like,
you'll do horrible. It all day. Oh my God. And it's so horrible, but I love it. I love it. And then, but the funny thing is sometimes I don't even know when it's coming. Like it'll just pop up. And I'll be like, I don't know what you want me to do. Like, and it's so horrible. It's so horrible.
Hearing Jamila's and hearing yours, I would admit that it's not the best. It's not at all.
Honestly, I thought Jamila was here. I looked away for a second. I heard that voice. I thought it was Jamila.
I don't know what you're talking about. So she's here. I don't know.
Oh, Jamila, I'm such a big fan.
It's not that bad. I'm coming back around on it.
It's going to come back. It has to come. It has to come. I can't just do it. It has to just come out, which is weird.
It's always funny though, because you'll do it when you have to like tell the guys a message and you'll be like, hair and makeup.
He sounds always at his phone and he's like, he's always on his emails, always on his phone. And he's like, yeah, huh? And he won't look up. And he's just staring down at his phone, just continue to text or read. And I'm like, all right, come on, you got your hair and makeup. And he'd be like, I'm coming. And he just sits there. And I'm like, Sal, hair and makeup. I'm coming. Sal, you don't have to. I put it on, and he'll just get up and start laughing, and then he'll go do it. So I just use it now.
You have all these techniques in your belt. You're like Batman. You have this. You're Jamaican Batman, and you have all these utility belt with all these spices and flavors.
It's
the Japanese Jamaican in me.
That's right. Oh, is that what it is?
That's Japanese Jamaican in me.
Japanese Jamaican.
I wonder what it is in Sal that gets him up with a British accent. Was he like a big Mary Poppins fan as a kid? He just respects like a British authority figure.
I don't know what it is, but he pops up. It's funny.
And speaking of pops up, this punishment.
Yeah.
My dog, FDR dog. I'm going to say that as much as I can to save our editors on the podcast who have to bleep it out every time we say the other thing. I am so happy that this is on TV.
Me too.
That they filmed it. It was, I was on set for this. This is a pre-COVID one. I was right next to the guys in BTS and crying, laughing to the point where I had to walk outside because I was like getting picked up on the audio in the room.
That's funny.
It was just, it was too much. And it's very funny. The one thing I want to stress to the fans at home, and I think this is okay to say, the network puts a lot of thought into what goes into the premiere. And sometimes it's like, what is the biggest spectacle we can make? What's like the biggest punishment we could do? Can we get like a Nitro Circus on board? That was a finale, or like some other like big things. What's the biggest thing we could do? Due to COVID, if there's any one thing that is like helped us, is that this punishment got to be the premiere.
I know, like, it's really funny.
Like, it's just funny. It's not a big spectacle, but we shot it. It's safe. It's here. Can we air it in the premiere? And the network was kind of like, you know what? Sure. After this year, just go ahead. Whatever. You guys take it and run.
You know what's funny is before I knew that we were coming back to finish season 9, I thought, I was like, okay, so why don't we just turn what we got into an hour episode?
Yep.
And I felt that, because the only punishment I think we had filmed at that point was this, right?
It was this one. Yep.
That's correct. Yeah. It was the only one.
I thought, this punishment, I actually felt like this punishment could close an hour special of like all our challenges. And then I thought, as we go into the quarantine edition, we just start from scratch for season 9. But obviously you can't really do that. And we had more than an hour. You don't want to waste up, and it's like the stuff we've been filming now is on par. It didn't hurt us. So I think it all works out. But my original idea was like, this could close like this hour long special episode.
And that's a good thing to bring up, Case. Like, yeah, there was a lot of, what do we do with these episodes we shot? And to kind of just speak to that, so that we'll give you guys the game plan kind of for what is coming up this season. If you notice it, like, we try not to show a lot of masks on the show this year. We're talking about COVID a lot more on the podcast because we want to give you guys a behind the scenes thing, but we really want Impractical Jokers, a TV show, to be a break from all of this, to be a break from your daily lives and just enjoy it. And so the producers and the guys and everyone do a lot to try to get what is on TV to look as much like normal times before COVID happened. And there's a lot of different things. We'll talk more about it as specific bits and stuff come up on the podcast or on the TV show. Then we'll talk about them on the podcast, but just kind of get ready for that. It's what you see, I think, is going to just look a lot like the Jokers that you're used to. And I think that's a great thing.
Right. Good. Well said, because that with safety in mind, we did everything we could to do exactly what you just said. And so far it's worked out really well. And actually, now that we're, we did all that and then like the holidays came around, we took a little break and now we're back. And it's amazing how much we learned even just from the edit of the episodes we filmed. We were overshooting. The guys were leaving the set being like, we have too much of a good episode here. like it was really funny that we were nervous about what we would get, and we were, and who knows?
It's what you're saying, Case. So basically, all right, we're at a grocery store. We're filming a bit. This has happened in the past. If the bit's not working out, the guys might be like, let's pivot. Let's do this. Like, it's not working. We can't do that this time. We're bringing in marks. Like you said, we've gotten them COVID tested multiple times before they come to set. We literally have a lot invested in them. And so because of that, we would, and the guys would spend even more time out on the floor with them to make sure they had enough comedy that was going well, that we could fill out these episodes. So when they were leaving set after some of our shoots during the COVID time, they were just like, it was like, they just did double the work, double the turn. There was like, there's so much there. It's really like, I would switch to go back to pre-COVID time in a heartbeat. But just for Impractical Jokers, we got a lot of material that I probably wouldn't have gotten before, because we're just so used to like, rip and repeat, just more
one
people.
And
yeah, if this isn't working, we'll pivot over there. But now it's like we just have to move forward with this.
You know, the head honcho of our production is Pete McPartland.
That's right.
He's been on the podcast. He's been on the show, and I asked him once because you know he has an Emmy. We call him Emmy Pete sometimes for Chopped, I think. And yeah, he could work on any show, but he stays on the show. Like, I've always been surprised. Like, you know, it's a great show, but you know, a lot of times in the industry, you know, this Shay, like people like come and go. They come and then they leave and move on to the next thing, and they keep working their way up. He's at a pretty high position, but he stayed. And I asked him, like, so why do you stay? You know, like he could move to any job. And he's like, well, it's always new and exciting. It's always like every day it's a new place. It's always a challenge. And that's all you want in this industry is like to problem solve. And that's what he has to do constantly. And this is a great example of it. Like this is why you stay, you know, cause we're like one of not that many shows that are doing this, and it's a challenge. Every day is problem solving. So I think like that, and because he had kids,
I think Pete loves his job though. Pete, if you, I don't know if you see, like, if you're in BTS with us and like you see when a bit actually comes to play and it comes out the way that he envisioned and everything, mm-hmm. he gets so excited.
He dances.
Yes. And like, quick, you know, Pete's kind of quiet. Yeah. You don't really hear too much. He's like, you know, Shay, all right. Like, he's real mellow kind of dude.
Right.
But if it's funny and it pops off the way that he wants to, he gets so excited. It's like I call him, then he turns into Travel Pete. It's like his Travel Pete all over again.
Yeah, Travel Pete is fun. Whenever we do a travel episode, like Pete out there is like having fun. He's like the end of the day comes, he's got a cocktail in his hand.
Exactly.
Like, you're like, how did you just get that? He's having fun.
The Impractical Jokers travel shoots. Just imagine anybody that you've seen on camera that's on the show with a drink in their hand.
Oh my God.
And that is pretty much what a travel shoot looks like as soon as the cameras stop rolling. It is.
If you've been on
the
cruise, if you've been on one of the Impractical Joker cruises,
oh yeah, you've seen it.
Then you know, and then you pretty much know what a travel shoot is for the crew. Because how we are on the boat is pretty much how we are after we shoot on a travel shoot.
All right. So that was a long digression, but I do want to, we got to get back to this punishment. We were like, this punishment's so great. Then we talked about a million other things.
It's true. I'm sorry. But yeah, I couldn't believe the network let this be a premiere is basically the bottom line. Like, it's so funny, but usually it's like so much thing. Like, we have a lot of ad dollars coming into this. Like, what's the perfect thing? Like, do we have this big celebrity name, which you're doing, Jamil? But it's like, what's the punishment? It's like, well, it's my dog, your dog. Let's go, guys.
You know why this is so great is because it really gets Joe. And on a bunch of levels, mm-hmm. it's dog stuff, which is very Joe. It makes mm-hmm. Joe like nervous. I mean, like, at one point he says butt stuff to like a sweet old lady. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, and it's we're taking actually the physical aspect out of Joe's performance. Like, he doesn't have to swing around like a genie and knock into things. He has to say my dog after dog and live in that. You know, and showing those incident reports too is so funny, like as if it's a car that needs work done.
We will tweet out some of the incident reports. I have a couple pictures of them. They are very funny. One of my favorite days was in the office and the guys were just like, hey, we're punishing Joe. Can you like doodle on these incident reports, some things? And so it was just all the producers like doodling on these. It looks like if you've been in an automobile accident, like we just took the car out and we made that a dog instead. And we had to like
made it right. I think I made I had to find all these, like, you know, you have to search like dog PNG or like dog with no background, like a little doodle. And I had to like put it together. Art department made it look nicer. That's how it always works. It's like, I'll try to scribble something together in Photoshop and then they'll just make it nicer and legit. Like, I just steal it from the internet and then they like get a real one.
Yeah. And Case, like, basically the whole producer's room turned into like a high school bathroom of people just doodling the most explicit things on these dogs and then handing it into our bosses. And they're like, thank you very much. This is perfect. This will go on TV later tonight. We're like, great. I don't want to say stole because he's the boss. So I think he can take anything. But he took one of the incident reports. I remember like posters, like, we need this one incident report. Where is it? And we're like, oh, I think Q took it because he wanted to put it on a t-shirt.
T-shirt, yeah. Okay.
So put it on a t-shirt. We had to get in touch with Q and be like, hey, can you just like whatever, scan it and send it over? And he's like, yeah, no problem. It's great. Yeah, I'm so happy that they did this. That old lady, what was her dog's name? It wasn't Roxy. It was the dog right before Roxy.
But it wasn't Mezcal.
It wasn't Mezzy.
No.
Mezzy. No, she didn't sign the lady with Mezzy. Some people were less happy than
Daisy?
Others.
Daisy? It wasn't Daisy, right?
Yeah, that's not important.
Wait, Daisy was a black dog. Was her dog black?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I just watched it.
Let us know.
But yeah. It was Mezzy's owner was not super... Didn't sign. I think she had a good time. She was happy her dog was safe. It was one of those things. Once it was all over, I think she's like, I got my dog. I'm good. See you later. I don't care about what I was on. So we had to, of course, blur her, give her a weird voice.
I was, what was interesting about that was I was thinking, and I don't know if legal is listening, but like we did say the dog's name. So I guess there's no legal rules of like saying the owner's dog's name.
I guess not, but I will say the fake voice that we had to put on her was very funny for the one line, his penis was in Mezzy's mouth.
That's incredible.
Even funnier when we had to do that garbled voice. That sent people rolling. I'll tweet this picture too. I have a picture of the other three guys in BTS on the ground crying from that interaction. It was fantastic.
There's so many moments though. Like even when the sweet old lady was trying to pay and he was like, I can't, it's not a bordello, which also sounds like that disease that dogs can get. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
It's like, it's like, it's kennel cough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What I do know is it's funny. We usually use one of Gatto's dogs for a bit like this, right?
Yeah.
When we were talking about it, of course
Bordetella.
Bordetella is the doggy disease.
It sounds delicious. It sounds like an Italian sweet meat.
Yeah, that sounds like something Gatto orders when he goes to Michael's in Brooklyn.
I'll take the Bordetella.
Yeah. Oh, for you, Joey, it's on the brooch.
The name of one of his dogs.
It will be, right? Yeah. So again, fans, you probably know this. If you don't, Joe has 9 dogs. They're all named after Italian pastries. If you think of an Italian pastry, it's one of his dogs. Basically.
Wait, he has 9 now?
He's got 9. Yeah. Yeah.
It's right. He just like has one pack. Situation. Right. Yeah. He's got another one.
It's
Jesus.
It's a bordello of dogs.
It really is. But no, Joe's got all these dogs, but it's his punishment. So it's like, you don't want to like tip him off to what he's doing beforehand. And plus the other guys are just like, listen, Joe's got all these little fluffy dogs. We need a big dog for this joke to really work. So we found Frank online, brought him in. It was somebody's dog, I think like a dog trainer in the area or something. So he brought in Frank, and that's the dog in the shot. And I think that didn't make the cut, but that we had on set, I'm 99% positive, was they had a bit where they wanted to say, my parrot effed your dog. Yeah. And so we had a parrot on set that day.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We never did it.
The bit was so funny, it never got to the parrot. And so we had this parrot on set at this dog groomers in Brooklyn. And then at the end of the day, we're just like, all right, thanks, animal trainer. The services will not be necessary. But we really wanted the parrot to say, I effed your dog, and the parrot couldn't say it. So just a little something about a parrot you might need to know. They're not that smart.
We also wanted one small dog. We like the idea that if it was a really small dog that was coming, that was like the owner's, that we'd go like, oh, my dog effed your dog. And it was Frank. It was a big dog. But if it was a really big dog, we'd have a really small dog to be like, my dog after your dog. And the guy would probably be like, okay, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? It's like, I doubt it penetrated.
I mean, like fans, literally our job one day was talking about this for at least one full day. Talked about this punishment, all the different things that could happen, the permutations, the incident reports, what it would look like. It was a glorious day. And it turned into that shoot last night. It was so fun, man.
There's two punishments that Simi has given us this note, which was, it can't just be this. And it was, so for the tip of shit, we were like, he just says the tip of shit over and over again.
Simi's our network exec, of course.
Yes.
and, two fans now.
And he was like, it has to be more. And so we like worked it out and like, we basically did that, like the tip of shit, but like in different ways.
Yeah.
And this was another one. We were sold that, like, if you just told every single person, if you just said to them, my dog f***ed your dog, like, we thought that would be funny enough. Like, you know, right. And then Simi, to his credit, was like, it could be more, guys. Like, look outside of the f***. And that's how we got to the incident reports. That's how we got to like the different ways when he's reading that thing of where he ate and like kept finish eating, like every single time he kept checking in on these dogs, yeah. You know, doing it, like that stuff is so fun. When Joe's reading that, that's a different side of Joe that I, you know, you don't see that often. You seldom see him like really loving what he's reading in a way that he is embarrassed and it's hard. Like he couldn't get out the thing with the dog's mouth.
When he's talking about the sandwiches he was eating at the time. Yeah, and that one's so,
when he's talking about the sandwiches and the eclair at the end.
Oh man, it was really great. Even there's so many like things.
Metaphorical, fans, laid the metaphorical pipe, laid the metaphorical pipe.
Okay, so there's stuff that didn't make TV. We have to read some of it. These are other incident reports that didn't make TV.
Beautiful.
Let's pull one up. So Shay, you haven't seen these, and I feel like one of the best ways to do this is if you read some of the things that didn't make TV, because it's like Joe didn't know what was happening. He didn't get to see it until it was his punishment. So I'm going to pull one up here and I'd love for you to read a cold reading.
Let's see.
Yeah, try to make it a little bigger. Okay, great. Is that big enough?
With the Frank stood on his hat.
Yeah.
Let me see.
This is great.
Yeah, okay.
Go for it, Shay.
Frank stood on his hind legs and thrust into your dog. I put my
tofurkey. Yeah, that is tough.
He also put consenting in parentheses before dog.
Yes,
consenting. I'm never gonna be able to say that. Sub and separated them. The behavior continued for a duration of about 6-inch subs. not upon for your dog or Frank's dogs. A Frank's dog. Dong?
Dong, yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, it happened a total of approximately 25 times.
Wow, you definitely counted. If you're saying approximately 25, you counted.
Yeah.
25 threat. Okay.
I love it. I love saying that the dog is consenting too.
That's very good.
All right, I'll read one of these too.
All right.
I'll try this one. On Wednesday, staff member Joe fed all the dogs. He used a new mix of dog food, which he assumes has either oysters or strawberries or some kind of aphrodisiac. Because when he returned to clean up, two dogs, Frank and Daisy, we kept using Daisy as just the one, Frank and Daisy were having sexual relations. Dog aphrodisiac. I'm sure it exists.
That's great.
Market for everything with dogs.
Let me read one more of these. Here's one. Frank previously had a cone around his head. Your dog helped remove the cone, in my opinion, so they could keep eye contact while they engaged in intercourse. When I realized what was happening, I tried to end the situation with the spray bottle, but they both seemed to enjoy that in a wet and wild sort of way.
Wow. Huge.
Oh my gosh.
That's really something else there. Yeah. There are so many of these, I'm just happy some of them made it on TV and a few more of them made it out onto the podcast.
One of the reactions I loved from, was it the first dog when he was leaving? He was like, next time we got to bring a butt plug.
Yes. It was the first guy. That first guy was great. That's a great Brooklyn. Way to start it.
I remember that dog's name was Brooklyn.
Yes. He was so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. James, I found some of the other ones.
Yeah, we can't stop. We can read a few more, Casey.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
They're just so much fun. This one would never make it, but like, you know, sometimes we write ones.
I just read it, Case. Go ahead.
Well, I don't know which one.
I've got the one you're about to read. Go ahead.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Staff member Joe's dog, Frank, walked over to Daisy and asked to fix the cable. Daisy had just gotten out of the doggy shower, but said, come on in. The rest is history. Is that the one you were thinking?
Yeah, that's the one, man. Here's another one. Frank mounted your dog and then erupted inside of her with the force of 10 Mount St. Helens. The cleanup the cleanup was maximal. Both dogs seem happier for the incident.
Yeah. I remember having to come up with things like, I wrote one that was like, Frank participated in some horizontal refreshment with Daisy. You just like,
yeah.
Or Frank did it Frankie style with your dog.
Frankie style, yes.
Frankie style.
Oh man, yeah. This is when our job is like so fun.
Again, super happy this made it into the premiere, and it's just a harbinger of things to come, fans. This season is nuts, and in a good way.
Yeah,
I'm so happy that we're back, just getting people to laugh and give you a break. Honestly, we'll try to skip over more on the podcast. We don't want to get too COVID-y and talk, because again, our whole show is a break. But I do think the fans want to know kind of like, how the heck are you guys doing this?
Yeah. And so, if you have questions, hit us up. I'm at Casey Jost.
I'm at Mick James McCarthy.
I'm at Shay Starchild.
That's Shastarchild, right?
Shay.
Starchild. Love it. So yeah, and please add Shay, especially if you've been following the podcast and you're following us already, please follow Shay. And if you have questions, tag us. And I like answering questions there, but also if they're good, we'll use them on the podcast too, just as something to explain to people, because you guys know more than we do. We're so, we're a little, internal, we're inside this. So sometimes it's hard for us to see it from the outside. So you guys can really help us out.
Yeah, tweet at us and use the hashtag Impractical Jokers podcast. Mm-hmm. And we'll check it out. We'll try to answer some questions throughout the year. We've got 9 more episodes in this first batch, and then a bunch more coming up later on the season. And it's fun. I'm so excited. I'm so happy that we're back. I can't wait.
Yeah, well, we'll have more special guests along the way and all kinds of fun stuff this season. If you have any suggestions, again, hit us up. We are open to it.
Well, guys, this was great.
Shay.
I had fun. This was like, aw.
I miss you.
I miss you too. This was great.
There's a tender love and care that Shay, that you're bringing now, and I'm really happy about it.
Yeah.
And like, I have a little tear. Mm. Just a little one. This is, I feel like we're back. Not back, but back.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yep.
We're looking at a screen, but I really do feel like we're together right now.
Yeah, cyber hugs.
Yeah, and cyber hugs to all our listeners right now.
Cyber hugs.
All right. Take care. We're out. See you next week.
Bye, guys.